So they asked me tonight just kind of tell my story. Let me, I want to say this before I jump into my testimony. I was an absolute stone cold normal guy. Growing up, there was absolutely nothing about me that was anything other than average. That's not me being false, like a false humility. I was just an absolute average human being, average athlete, average student. Everything about me was average. And God had a plan for my life that I would have never dreamed, would have never guessed. If you would have come to me when I was 18 years old and said, Matt, you're going to be a pastor of a church in Austin, Texas, that's going to grow to like 8,000 people and five campuses. You're going to see the University of Texas transformed by the gospel. You're going to send 350 full-time vocational missionaries to unreached people groups by the grace of God all over the world. You're going to start a church. You know, you and your wife and your family, and the worship leader is going to be this guy named Chris Tomlin, who's like this famous worship leader guy. I would have thought you were nuts. First time I preached, I had never spoken publicly in my life. Matter of fact, I dropped out of a speech communications class at Texas A&M my freshman year because I had to stand up in front of 30 people and give my name, my address, and my major, and I was so scared to do it that I quit the class. God calls me into ministry. I might, if I have time tonight, I'll tell that story. But I had this gift, this ability to preach that I didn't know I had until I could do it in God. And why am I telling you all this? It's for this reason. Tomorrow, we're going to look at a verse. It's in Ephesians 2, and it says this. It says, you are his workmanship. That word workmanship means poem, literally, poema in the Greek. You're a Christian. He's speaking to Christians, and he says, you are his workmanship. You are the poem of God. And it says he created you in Christ Jesus. That means you were saved. That means he called you. He saved you, transformed your life. He said, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It says for good works that God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. What that means, gentlemen, is that if you're a Christian here tonight, if you're a believer, if you put your faith in Christ, what that means is that before you were ever born, God had a plan for your life. These things out there called good works, a mission that he wants you to fulfill for his glory. And he created you so that you would do that. And so that's what I want to talk about for the next 24 hours that we're together. I want to do two things. One, if you're here and you've never put your faith in Jesus, if there's never been a time in your life you've bent the knee to Jesus, I'll talk about that. Man, I want to challenge you to do it. And for the rest of us, Christians, I want you to think about that verse, Ephesians 2:10, I believe it is. You are his workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. Are you walking in the calling God has on your life? That's what this weekend is all about. And where is Pastor? Is he in the room? Man, I want to encourage you. Can y'all give this man a hand back there? The guy that is the pastor of this incredible church. I want to encourage you for a second. Man, I've been in ministry for 30 years last year. And I've preached all over the country. I've done, I don't know, a couple hundred men's conferences over that 30 years. I tell you what, man, I cannot tell you that you guys have sung louder than any men's conference I have ever heard except Pastors Promise Keepers in 1996. So anyway, I just want to encourage you in that because it shows that God is moving in this place. And I think God is moving in our country among men. Guys, I mean it. I've been doing this a while, and I'm telling you, God's doing something in men right now. I think there might be a revival, and I don't want you to miss it. Y'all, I preached a few months ago, like 3 or 4 months ago. I had this call from this guy that was a president of an HVAC company, and he called me and said, hey, Matt, Would you be willing to come preach at a men's conference for us? Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty is going to be there. It's going to be you and him. I'm like, all right, man, I'll come do it. And he said, it's just the guys at my HVAC company. There's 500 dudes. They get a free day off of work, and they get a paid day vacation if they come to this church and listen to you and Willie talk. I'm like, I'll do it. So I fly in. It was in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm driving up to the church. I look out. There's 500 guys standing out in the parking lot. About 3/4 of them were smoking cigarettes. Hadn't seen that many dudes going to a conference smoking cigarettes since the Southern Baptist Convention. It was awesome. They're wearing work clothes. Some of them had like their vests on and stuff. And I walk in the church, looked a lot like this. And the president of the company said, hey, man, most of these guys don't go to church. Some of these guys have never darkened the doors of a church. And man, I just got up and talked about legacy. My father and my uncle was like my dad, had both died within a few months of me speaking. And I'm like, I'm thinking more about legacy than I have in my life. And y'all, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not one of these guys that preaches and people just flood the aisles. I'm more like a catalyzer. I get Christians to go live on mission. I'm not this big evangelist. And y'all, I'm telling you, I bet half that room came forward after Willie and I preached to receive Christ. God is at work in this city, not in this city, but in this country. I'm telling you he is. Question is, what role are you going to play in it? All right, I'm going to pray real quick. I'm going to give you a really brief story of my life, and really brief. We'll do 15 minutes. We're going to pray. We'll get out of here. All right, let's pray. I want you guys to pray something. Excuse me. I don't care if you've been a Christian and you've been walking with the Lord for 50 years, or you're here tonight and you're not a believer, man. Some dude invited you, and I want you to pray a really simple prayer just in the quietness of your heart. And say, Lord, would you speak to me tonight? Lord, would you speak to me tomorrow? And Father, I do ask that specifically for anyone here that has never bent their knee to you, never trusted you for their salvation, God, for forgiveness of their sins, and entered into relationship with you and had their life just completely transformed like you transformed mine. Pray that they would hear from you tonight, tomorrow. Lord, I pray for the Christians in this room. Lord, I pray they would be edified and filled over the next 24 hours through your word. Holy Spirit, meet us here. And we need you. We live in a world that has fallen apart. And God, we need men of faith to rise up and be the church like you've called us to be. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So guys, like I told you, incredibly average human being. I do believe that I grew up in a Christian home. And when I say Christian home, we went to church. I'm not sure if we were Christians or not. I grew up at a little church, First Baptist, Athens, Texas, little small East Texas town. I walked an aisle when I was 8 years old because someone told me, my pastor told me, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That every man that's ever lived has sinned. That God is perfect. He's holy. He's perfectly holy, perfectly loving. He created us so that we would be in a relationship with him. By the way, I don't know if you knew that or not. That's why you are alive, so that you would be in a relationship with God. So God created man that we would be in a relationship with him, but all of us sinned, fell short of his perfection. When we did that, our relationship was severed. Scripture says that God sent his son. He came and lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He died in our place on a Roman cross, shed his blood, rose 3 days later from the grave. And so that if we trust in him as our Lord and Savior, all of our sins are forgiven. Not just the ones we committed up to that point, but every sin we've ever committed, it's completely taken from us. Sin as far as from the east is from the west. And God now looks at you as a son, a beloved, righteous, holy son of God. And you'll go to heaven when you die. That's the gospel. I was told that, and I honestly believed it. And I trusted Christ, my Lord and Savior. But I want to tell you something, man. I never was discipled from that moment. My parents didn't really walk with the Lord. And so from my junior high years and high school years, and a lot of you guys can relate to this, I just went crazy. I ran from God, didn't walk with God, was just a regular old sinner. And I told you this, that I was average for a reason, because when I was in high school, man, there was like the popular crowd, and I remember seeing them and thinking, man, that'd be cool if I was popular. And there was like the good-looking girls. I thought that'd be cool if I could date those girls. And there was like the guys that started, you know, quarterback and on the basketball team, and I would always make the team, and I never really got to play much. And so there were all of these things that were going on with the cool kids and the cool people. I thought, man, if I could just ever do that, that's when life's going to be fun and exciting and fulfilling. And just went to high school, didn't walk with the Lord, had to go to church because my mom made me, but I don't remember anything about it. And then I went to college, went to Texas A&M. Friend of mine talked me into joining the Corps of Cadets at A&M. If you have no idea what that is, A&M used to be a military school for a long time of its history, from 1876 to the 1960s. And then you had a choice to go into military. But to this day, I mean, you can go join the Corps of Cadets. They have what's called the quad. All the cadets live on there. You wear a uniform, not 24 hours a day, but a class all day long. You get to have kind of a normal life on the weekends. You go to formation the morning, evening, run every day, do all kinds of devious stuff that the upperclassmen can get you to think of. I decided for some crazy reason I wanted to join the Corps. Decided I was going to go into the military. And what do y'all think I did once I got into A&M, joined the Corps, and Sunday morning came, that first Sunday morning, and I was exhausted because I was being in the Corps, and my mama wasn't there to make me go to church. I didn't go to church. Next Sunday came around, I didn't go to church again. Matter of fact, that whole entire first semester, I did not darken the door of a church. Didn't pray once. Didn't listen to worship music. Didn't have a single conversation about Jesus. Matter of fact, I was running from God so far, so fast, to make your head spin. And here's the crazy part, is for whatever reason, I was good at the Corps. That first semester, I ended up being one of the top cadets in the Corps and was just kind of on track for a high position. And all of a sudden, all the stuff I thought was cool, I got, like, became popular. People wanted to hang out with me. I'd done lots and lots of push-ups for a couple months, and so I started getting kind of jacked. Girls started paying attention to me for the first time in my life. Started dating good-looking girls, did the things that non-walking with Jesus guys do with girls, started drinking, started partying. A lot of us have stories like that, and I just want to tell you about me is that I was absolutely stone-cold miserable. I believe I was saved. I believe I had the Holy Spirit because I did trust in Christ, my Lord and Savior, when I was a little kid. And so that's the thing. That's the thing about Christians. If there are any Christians here and you're like kind of running from God right now and you're pursuing sin in your life, I'm telling you what I've discovered is that Christians running from God are the most miserable human beings on planet Earth. It's because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that wants to glorify Jesus. And so the whole reason the Holy Spirit is in there is so that you can pursue and glorify Jesus. But in the Holy Spirit, man, you got sin in your life. And so the Holy Spirit's grieved and you can't really enjoy sin anymore because the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, Christians running from God are the most miserable people on the planet. And that was me. Didn't darken the door of a church that first semester. And Christmas break came. And I had dated a girl in high school. Named Heather Collins, and she was from Nacogdoches, Texas. She went to SFA, Stephen F. Austin University. We had broken up right before I went to college, and I can't even remember why, but right during Christmas break, she called me and said, hey, I miss you. I've been thinking about you. I would love for you to go with me on a ski trip with a friend of mine's church in Amarillo, Texas, called Paramount Baptist. I don't really know anybody there except my friend, but I've been missing you. I want to hang out with you. So let's drive up to Amarillo, Texas and go on a ski trip with Paramount Baptist. And I was like, for whatever. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And on the way up there, this girl and I kind of connected again. And we sort of started dating. And I felt a little glimmer of happiness there for a second. And we went on this ski trip. And I don't remember a ton about the first part of the ski trip. But I get there, and I'm aware pretty quickly that I don't fit in, because when you're a freshman, they shave your head. And so I come in, I don't know anybody. There's about this many people on the ski trip. I walk in, I'm kind of skinny, and I got a head shaved, my head shaved, and I'm with some girl that doesn't even go on the trip. And so nobody talks to me, but I got this new girlfriend that I'm with, you know, this my old girlfriend, and we ski together the first day. And I don't remember what happened, but here's when everything began to go really poorly. She came up to me on the second day. And she said, "Matt, I need to tell you something. I'm not going to ski with you today." I was like, "Okay, why is that?" And she's like, "Well, I'm going to go ski with this other guy. And his name's Tad or something. I don't know." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, I met this other guy. I'm going to go ski with him." I'm like, "Okay." And basically, she just broke up with me right there on a ski trip. So if y'all can imagine my misery for a second, I'm in Colorado. I don't even remember where I was. I was in Colorado with a church group that I didn't know anybody, and a girlfriend that just broke up with me to hang out with Tad or whatever his name was. And so pretty low moment in my life. I remember going to the kind of the cabin up on the ski slope where you could get hot chocolate or whatever. And I was just sitting there, and that was the lowest moment of my life. You know, I'd kind of look out the door and there would be Heather and Tad, you know, skiing past me and looking real happy and stuff. And God began to set in motion this poem of my life. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't even praying for it. I was just in the biggest desert of my entire life, absolutely miserable. And the poem started getting written. This guy walks in. He walks over to me and he goes, "Hey man, I recognize you from our trip." He said, "My name's Brett Storseff." And he shook my hand and he said, "I'm on the ski trip with you." And he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you go to Texas A&M? I was like, "I do." "How'd you know?" He goes, "Well, your head's bald. I figure you were at A&M or West Point, you know, or something like that." He goes, "I go to A&M. I was like, "Dude, that's awesome." And he's like, "Why are you in here by yourself?" And I was like, "Well, you know, Heather, her and Tad are skiing now, and she just broke up with me." And he goes, "Oh, bro, I'm so sorry." He goes, "I tell you what, man, why don't you just hang out with me?" And so I skied with Brett the rest of the next couple of days. Brett sat with me in the bus, which I really appreciated because Heather and Tad were in the back, you know, and he sat by me and, man, just hung out with me, got to know me, found out he was a Christian. And he wasn't just a Christian that in name only, but he was the first person in my entire life I ever met that actually walked with God. He had a relationship with Jesus. Here's this cool sophomore, junior, I don't remember, in college, and he read the Word of God, man. He went to church, went to Bible study. He served at his church, and he was amazing. He was friendly. He was kind. He was cool. He was everything I wanted to be, and this guy walked with Jesus. First guy I'd ever met my age that walked with the Lord. When we finally got back to where we are, I don't remember the rest of the story, but I remember this. He said, "Matt, when we get back to A&M, he said, "I want to call you, and I'd like to take you to a Bible study." And so I gave him my number. This is before cell phones. You had to give them your number, and they had to call you wherever you were on your little landline. But anyway, I gave him my number, completely forgot about it. Sure enough, first week of the second semester comes, and I get this phone call on a Tuesday afternoon. And it was Brett. He's like, "Hey, man." I'm like, "Hey, Brett, how are you?" He goes, "Bro, Bible study tonight. It's at All Faiths Chapel, Texas A&M University." And Texas A&M has this little small, tiny chapel in the middle of the university called All Faiths. And if you could imagine, you know, that the stained glass wall here and stained glass wall here, and there's this many, you know, chairs in the middle of it, that's what it looked like. And sure enough, Brett came that evening, and he picked me up. It's probably late. It's probably like 9 o'clock because college kids are crazy and they worship God late. But anyway, he walks me in, and I walk in and there people were worshiping. Now, y'all, you gotta understand something. I grew up in First Baptist Athens, Texas. We did hymns, and I love hymns. Hymns are amazing. But hymns, more often than not, are you singing about God. A mighty fortress is our God. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, that kind of stuff. We would sing these hymns about God. And y'all, and First Baptist Athens, Texas, you never saw anybody raise their hands. Nobody raised their hands. You never saw anybody get on their knees. You know, we were proper Baptists, man. We just stood there. Every once in a while, we stood up. I walk in the door, and there were college kids that had their hands in the air worshiping the Lord. Never seen it. There were college kids on their knees, the front, on the side. Some were standing, some were kneeling. And man, I walked in the door and I experienced something that I had never experienced in my life. I experienced the presence of Almighty God. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to articulate it. All I know is I felt it. And man, there was just something different. And I walked in and I sat right there in the middle. I don't even remember Brett being there with me. All I remember is there was a guy on a keyboard, and he started playing this song. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you. Something different about that song. It wasn't singing about God. It was singing to God. So y'all, for the first time in my whole life, I started singing to the Lord. Nobody taught me how. I just like, I'm going for this. And I started singing, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. And I am telling you, for the first time in my entire life, there was a peace that filled me. There was a satisfaction that came into my soul deep down in places that I did not know could be satisfied. There was a joy and a hope and a purpose that overwhelmed me that I had never experienced in my life. I was looking for it. I didn't know I was looking for it. I was looking for it, but it was there in his presence, telling him he's more beautiful than diamonds and nothing I desire compares to him. In that moment, I experienced it. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, true story, out loud, I said these words. I was like, this is what I've been looking for my entire life. And in that moment, I gave my life to Jesus. And I said, God, first of all, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been running from you. But Lord, I'm yours. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea where that would go. But I bent the knee to Jesus, and I'm gonna end with this. I'm a teaching pastor at a church called Church of 1122 right now. Joby Martin is the senior pastor. If you haven't heard Joby Martin preach, if you don't get anything out of this retreat, I want you to remember him and I want you to start listening to him. I think he's one of the best preachers in America. He preaches to men. He's unbelievable. Big jacked up arms, tattoos, and he's a genius. But I preach for them about 6 times a year. And he said something the other day that when you first hear about it, I don't think much about it, but it kind of stopped me in the tracks. He was preaching to men. He did a series called Stand Firm, Act Like Men. And he said, men, he said, you can't stand firm and be the man that God has called you to be until you bow the knee to Jesus. Something that hit me, bow the knee to Jesus. It's when you as a man come before the cross and you get on your knee and you say, Jesus, I'm giving you my life because you are God and I'm not. Because you're the Lord of my life, not me. Because you are worthy of my life. Because I believe you are everything you said you are, that I believe you're God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe that my true worth is found in following you. You bow the knee to Jesus and say, God, I'm yours. If there's anybody here tonight, you've been looking for something and you don't even know what you're looking for. I'm telling you what it is. It's a relationship with God. If you've never bowed your knee to Jesus, that's what tonight, tomorrow morning is all about, giving you the opportunity to step into the purpose that God has for your life. And if you do it, I'll make a promise to you. It'll be the greatest thing you ever did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving me. Lord, I have no idea where I'd be or what I'd be doing had you not found that goofy, bald-headed kid on the side of that mountain and made me your workmanship. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your story, a little small part. God, you are good. As we sang that song earlier, Lord, you are my foundation. You're the rock on which I stand. The rains came and the winds blew, but my house was built on you, God. When cancer came into my life, when heart disease, when my marriage was struggling, you were my rock, and you still are today. And God, if there's any man in this room that's never bowed his knee to you, I pray that he might tonight. You change his life like you promised us that you would. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.